For Hereon Cravings We Trust with Dylan Curtis, who has served me quite a few drinks over the years, and yet I have enough brain cells to do this interview with him. So thank you for joining me.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back. Yeah.
So how do we know each other?
So I think it starts when you began coming to Kitty O'Shea's when I was still the general manager and bartender over there. You quickly made yourself a regular, and here we are.
Yeah. Was Kitty O'Shea's your first time working in the service industry?
It was not my first time in the service industry. It was my first time bartending when I started there. I started out as the brunch bartender.
Okay.
But yeah, it was definitely my longest job in the service industry. Yeah.
What was that like?
For me, I just enjoy small neighborhood dive bars. That's just the feel I like. Like even working in Mount Pleasant, I like to go to the Raven after work because that's just the vibe I want. There was a good amount of that at Kitty's, but what happens working in a place like that, especially with such a small team and being responsible for basically everything involving running the restaurant, it's kind of like a crash course in learning the ins and outs of how a restaurant works. You got to pick it all up real quick or it doesn't really work.
How did you evolve as a bartender and as a service industry worker over time at Kitty's?
Well, I mean, I think the easiest thing to point to is definitely just the experience and just going through that and gaining a massive understanding of how restaurants operate, what I need to do to prepare myself for situations, for special events, things like that. And given that's more on the management side than the bartending side, bartending is just learning how to be as efficient as possible. You know, we ran a place where we would be, as the bartender, the only front of house employee. And then I have one cook in the back. So if I get slammed, I get like 50 people in at once. It's just, okay, you got to do this by yourself and be as efficient as possible so you don't just get buried for the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot of things you learn and how to be quicker, how to set yourself up for those situations so that you're not caught off guard when that happens.
Where did you like to kind of blow off steam when you were after hours?
Kitty's?
I guess at Kitty's or even now, if the places remain the same.
Yeah, I'd say at Kitty's we close at like 3 a.m. and then by the time I'm done cleaning, it's like 5 in the morning.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, after hours there wasn't really after hours for that. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have a friend over here and there hanging out with me while I was closing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just kind of my late night thing there. Purple Patch is different because we're not that kind of place. You know, it's more food focused. We are a restaurant and the food is great, but mm-hmm. because we're more restaurant focused, we don't have a bar that's open until 3 in the morning. Generally, I'm closing the bar by 11 midnight. And I'm out by like 1. So typically, because I've lived in Mount Pleasant since 2013, I want to say. Mm-hmm. So now that I work in Mount Pleasant, I pretty much just don't leave Mount Pleasant. So I get off work, I'll walk down to the Raven or I'll go down to Mark's and then just go home from there.
So yeah. When you moved to Mount Pleasant, at what point did you learn about Purple Patch?
That's a good question. So Purple Patch would have opened in 2015. And I guess my first memory of Purple Patch was just noticing that the signs on the building has changed, because it used to be Tonic, and then on the other side was Radius Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always gone by those places. And then one day I walked by and I saw these signs that said Purple Patch. And I was like, what is that? I don't know what Purple Patch is.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think much of it because at the time I think I had just become GM at Kitty's or somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working like 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
At least. So I didn't really hang out outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
There was the occasional times I'd make it out, but it was few and far between. But I would say that changed when I moved into the building, actually. So my girlfriend at the time and I had started renting a condo in the building right above Purple Patch, basically. Mm-hmm. So obviously now I'm walking by the restaurant all the time. If I'm lazy and don't want to cook, I'm like, I'm just going to walk down the hall to Purple Patch and get some food. This is great. So I'd see a lot of basically the regular staff there at the time. You know, we had Caroline and Braden, Bridget, Zach. Those are like all the bartenders. Patrice, obviously, is always there. And just over time, just getting to know them, just seeing them down the hall all the time. Like, hey, neighbor, whatever.
So when I went to Purple Patch, I was drawn by all things pork.
Yeah.
What were the things that you were drawn to when you first went there?
Definitely the pork. I mean, it's, we have to be honest, it starts with two things, right? It's the Olympia and it's the Sisig. And like, for me, honestly, it took me a long time to order something other than the Sisig because it's just delicious. But I'm glad I did because there's some great stuff on that menu.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. And would you ever get any of the cocktails there?
Yeah, for sure. There's some I personally wouldn't, like the Palawan. It's not my thing, but that's a personal taste. It's a sweeter cocktail. Right? Yeah. It's like a Filipino pina colada, which is just, I understand there are people who like it. I understand why people like it, but it's just not my thing personally. But yeah, I think we have a lot of fun with our cocktail menu in general. We try to change it pretty regularly, minus the few like staple cocktails, right? Mm-hmm. If you have your Palawan and your spicy margarita, everybody loves those. We just keep those. Those are just house cocktails, right? But we try to have fun. That's like one of my favorite parts, honestly. Bartending is like playing around the cocktails, trying to do like the next season's cocktails. And like, all right, let's see what we can mess with and make something happen.
Yeah, there was I think it was a spicy calamansi hot tea. Maybe it wasn't spicy, but there was a hot calamansi tea.
You can add the spicy tequila to it.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah, that was really good. And that was more of like a winter fall drink, right?
Yeah, so that one's actually always on the menu.
Oh.
Yeah, it's basically like a hot toddy. Like, you know, you got a scratchy throat or something. Here's some hot water, honey and lemon juice.
Guys really are pharmacists. Not feeling well, have booze.
Yeah. I mean, you can do without the booze too. It's still
can
nice.
You though? Like,
well, do you want to? Probably not.
Yeah. My Lola's rolling in her grave right now. Like, what are you doing to this fruit that I cherish?
I mean, calamansi is just delicious. We use it everywhere. Like, it's all over the menu. We make our own sour mix in house, and we use calamansi to make our sour mix. We have calamansi juice, we have calamansi soda, we have spicy calamansi sauce for wings and other things. It's just, it's everywhere.
I feel like calamansi is underappreciated, like, because ube is something that blew up completely. And it's not, ube is not bad. I love ube, but calamansi is a whole nother element that America has yet to explore.
I would say calamansi is more versatile than ube is.
Yeah.
But I'll take both. Yeah.
So you mentioned that there's seasonal cocktails that Purple Patch works on. Is there anything coming up in the spring that you've been toying with? Or is that secrets?
Yeah, nothing yet. I wouldn't want to bring anything up because right now all I have is a bunch of ideas that we haven't really messed with yet.
Yeah.
So like I could tell you about something now and then we try it out and be like, I hate this. We're not using this. Mm-hmm. But we're working on that over the next like month. We want to try to have an idea of what that's going to look like before we get to St. Patrick's Day, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I know that when I moved to DC, this is kind of related. When I moved to DC, I realized that there's a huge combo culture here.
Yeah.
And I discovered that, especially at Kitty O'Shea's. And that's when I became a frat guy and ordered a lot of PBR Fireballs. I'm curious if, in your opinion, is there a place in Purple Patch for a combo?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think if we were to do something like that, it would obviously be very different than what we did at Kitty's. Mm-hmm. You know, just PBR or Natty Bow and whatever. But I mean, I'm not against the idea of trying to do like a Filipino combo. Like, here's a San Miguel and a shot of Tanduay. I don't know.
Yeah, like Red that. Horse and Kasama.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to do a Red Horse combo. It's like a it's a little aggressive. That's like an 8% ABV beer. And I'm like, we'll take our time with that one.
So with all this knowledge of Purple Patch, I'm wondering what made you take the plunge to start working there?
It's actually kind of funny. So Kitty's shut down in September of 2020. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was still living above Purple Patch. And so Patrice and Bridget and Alex, basically Patrice being the owner, Alex and Bridget were the managers at the time, along with Jose, would kind of jokingly ask me when they see me, is like, hey, you ready to start working with us? And I was like, I'm taking time off. I'm not doing it. I was like, I just spent 6 months basically closing down a restaurant in the pandemic. And like, I don't want to see the inside of a restaurant.
Right.
Yeah. I was just like way too stressful at 6 months. And so I'd laugh it off. And I'm like, no, I'm taking a vacation. I'm not bartending. And I'm definitely not managing anymore. And that went on for probably about 13 months.
Okay. It's a break.
Yeah. It was nice. It was refreshing. Running a restaurant, especially in those first 6 months of the pandemic, I'm sure anybody who's done it can testify, is just ridiculously stressful. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, so like that. Yeah. I mean, after those 6 months, I was just burnt out. I didn't want to do it. I spent a lot of time focusing on taking classes. I was taking classes online, went back to school to do that.
Mm-hmm. What kind of classes?
Towards a business degree, finishing that. And then I worked for a friend of a friend at the farmers markets, basically, during those 16 months, and the occasional pop-up events. So still kind of food service, but like a little different, a little more, less responsibility, for one. Not being a manager anymore. But also just less stressful being able to work outdoors and do all that, just given what things were at that time. And so I basically just did that, took classes for a while. And after a while, you just start to miss it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I think I can go back to bartending. And I still swore up and down, I was like, I'm not going to be a manager anymore. I will not do it. You can't pay me enough to be a GM again. I won't do it.
You sound like an NBA player who like missed the game and was like, all right, I'm coming back.
It's like Jordan coming back from baseball, going into basketball. I'm like, fuck this, I'm going back.
Baseball's too slow for me. Yeah. On the topic of the NBA, I've always been curious because it's safe to assume that you like basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. As a service industry worker, is there an NBA player that you relate to?
So we've had this discussion before, and I feel like my answer has changed slightly.
Okay.
I think my answer before was Devin Booker.
It was.
Yeah. I don't know. It's actually probably still the same.
Why Devin Booker?
I love the versatility in his game. I love that he's one, partially because I like to think that my actual game is similar to Devin Booker's, obviously on a far more minor scale.
Mm-hmm.
but he's a scorer to the level where he can just take over a game and score 50 points if he needs to. But yeah, he can also step back and like feed his teammates and end up with like 15 assists and just facilitate the offense and let his teammates do their thing. And I think that kind of versatility just speaks to me a lot.
And in terms of the leadership at Purple Patch, which NBA coach best relates to the godmother, Patrice?
Which coach?
Yeah.
Probably say a Phil Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Because of, it's the way she will sometimes just pull people aside and have this little, like, motivational talks with them kind of thing. And just do that from time to time here. Patrice also being, like, a Marine and, like, especially former drill instructor, she's, like, she knows how to get the best out of people when she needs to. So.
Have you seen The Last Game or The Last Dance?
Mm-mm.
Oh, there's this definitely watch it sometime, but when you mentioned the like heart-to-heart talks, there's this great scene where Phil Jackson and Dennis Rodman have a moment, and they just talk about Native American tribes. And Dennis Rodman talks about, you know, that really resonated with me in terms of like team building. So I imagine those moments. I really got to meet Patrice. Long story short, she feels unattainable to me right now.
She's a very, very busy woman. She's
That's why I say she's.
I mean, she's got a 4-year-old and she's running a restaurant. And I want to say by herself, obviously she has the team with her, you know, the management team and all the rest of us, but it's her baby, right?
Yeah. What do you like about the Purple Patch team?
I think it's just most of the team just works really well together, and we're all friends outside of work. I mean, there are some exceptions, like I'm not hanging out with like our high school takeout people, like outside of work, things like that. Right. Like we're still friends, but like, yeah, within reason, like, you know, me, Zach, Bridget, Aaron, just everybody hangs out. And I think it's nice to have that on a team, not have those like negative feelings towards other people, I guess. Like we all have our frustrations in work, but like we all like each other as people,
like a family. So out of everyone on the team, is there a particular face that gets you through the day?
Well, that's definitely Zach, who was my co-bartender on Friday and Saturday nights.
How long have you known Zach for?
So I've known Zach probably going back to moving into the building. You know, I lived up, like I said, I lived upstairs. And a lot of times I don't have a TV in my place. I don't really watch a lot of TV, but every once in a while you'll have things like the, you know, there's a big baseball game going on or a big basketball game or something. And it's like the last minute and I'll be like, I'll get an update on my phone. I'll be like, oh shit, let me run downstairs and like just sit at the bar and watch it.
Yeah.
So like I've known Zach going back to, I don't know, 2016, just like as a patron, but we've been working together since. We actually didn't work together when I first started working at Purple Patch.
Okay.
It was probably like 4 months in or so we started working together, like just on a per shift basis. We just had separate days on and off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at what point did you decide this is a man I want to get romantically involved with?
Probably the end of our first full like Friday night shift. It was like, wow, that was great. We killed that. And it was like, it's one of those things when you're bartending with somebody, it's like a dance, right? You just move around each other seamlessly and you all know what you're doing. You communicate sometimes without speaking. It's just like nonverbal. It just flows.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's nice to have that because it's not all the time. There's a lot of people I've worked with behind a bar where I'm just like, I can't get around you. I don't know what you're doing. I can't do this. but that's never been the case with me and Zach, and that was just great.
I know.
And then we started talking basketball.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know you guys are very much into basketball and music. In terms of basketball, is there an NBA player that best relates to Zach?
I would say Zach would definitely say Marcus Smart.
He would.
Yeah.
Fuck the Celtics. Anyways. It's another discussion for another time. I will say Zach's a good defensive player.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. And is there a song that reminds you of Zach fondly?
Well, there's a few songs, but we did just discover, so my birthday was relatively recently, February 6th, and I found out that February 6th is also Axl Rose's birthday.
Oh.
Turns out Zach's birthday is the same as Slash. So Zach shares a birthday with Slash and I share a birthday with Axl Rose.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty funny. So I want to say we have to find like a Guns N' Roses song. But we haven't picked one out yet. So
save it for the wedding.
Yeah.
I know you guys work together a lot on the weekends, at least on Fridays. Is there a shared drink that you guys will take to get yourselves going through the shift?
Typically, is just Fernet, but that's just typically all I drink. Yeah, just a lot of Fernet, a lot of beer.
And would you say that's the drink you guys would have if you were to ride into the sunset together, sitting on the porch steps?
100%. I like to think I'd have like a shoulder holster that would just have like bottles of Fernet in it.
Oh my goodness. I'm surprised you weren't on a Fernet commercial for the Super Bowl, to be quite honest.
I should have been. Tried to email them. They never got back to me, though. So.
They're lost. It sounds like you've found a sense of family and community at Purple Patch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of how I feel about Mount Pleasant in general. I mean, it is by far my favorite neighborhood in D.C. I've lived there for a decade, and like, if I can help it, I'm not moving out of Mount Pleasant. Although I have to say, I'm not very fond of the idea of paying almost $500,000 for like a 700 square foot condo.
Yeah. But
that's what it takes to figure it out.
How do you think Purple Patch has opened up the community of Mount Pleasant?
So it's an interesting concept. I think it's one thing I especially realized last night, that I guess that there's a lot of people who have really traveled to come to Purple Patch. Mm-hmm. There we had like a few families last night who said they drove like 45 minutes to get there. I was like, wow, okay.
And they had to park in Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, and then wait an hour and a half for a table.
Wow.
They're willing to do that. I was like, wow, okay. Like, that's, it means a lot that someone's willing to give that much of their time to experience like what you're creating as a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Was Purple Patch your first encounter with Filipino food?
It was not my first. I can't remember the name of the place. But it's definitely taken me a lot farther into Filipino food than I ever realized.
How so?
Was there. Just the extensive amount of the menu, and talking to Patrice's mom, Mama Alice, who likes to hang out during the day a lot, mm-hmm. just talking about some of the food and some of the stuff she had growing up. I don't know. It's been an interesting experience just learning more about how certain ingredients are used and where they're used and the different ways that they do certain dishes in different regions, things like that. You know,
I think the power between the power with Filipino mm-hmm. food, because I'm part Filipino, as you know, is that there's a sense of comfort. Is there any particular dish that Purple Patch serves where you eat it and you feel at home?
I think that's like half the menu, honestly.
Yeah.
At least. Yeah, like coconut braised short rib adobo, the escabeche, sisig, I don't know, all of the adobos, all of them. Yeah. The mushroom adobo, the cauliflower adobo, the eggplant adobo, the chicken adobo, the pork adobo, all of it.
Have you ever tried cooking Filipino food?
I have not. I have tried rolling lumpia. My brother's fiance is actually a Filipino. Mm-hmm. And they made a bunch of lumpia for Thanksgiving and a couple other times. But I didn't have much of a hand in that.
I think all I'm going to say is if you know how to roll other stuff, you can roll lumpia. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
It's fair. You got to make sure it's tight, though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I dated someone who was, he was really good at rolling stuff. That's all I'm going to say.
Rolling stuff.
Rolling stuff. If you can roll stuff, you can roll lumpia.
It's like that quote from Dodgeball, right? You can dodge a brick, you can dodge a ball. You can roll a blunt, you can roll a lumpia.
Oh, man, he said it. All right. Oh, man. Anyways. Disclaimer, I do not do that. Oh, man. Well, I think it's time to wrap this up with a couple questions about you specifically.
Sure.
What is your drink of choice when you're ending the night at Purple Patch?
A shot of Fernet. It's an easy one.
I knew it. Oh, man. What do you want people to know if they're stepping into Purple Patch for the first time?
If you're stepping into the dining room, please don't stand in the doorway. Walk to the dining room and find someone to get you a table. No, but going here for the first time, just be willing to take your time with the menu and like ask questions, because there's a lot of good stuff on there, and you'll probably have to make a couple of trips to really get through it. But also, always save room for dessert.
And what's that dessert?
Personally, for me, it's the ube bread pudding with ube ice cream, and that's a no contest.
Oh, yes.
But there's the hollow, there's a cassava cake, there's a flourless chocolate cake, there's ube pie, there's ube cheesecake, there's ube cupcakes, there's turan, which is like a plantain rolled in like a flaky dough, fried and covered with honey and scoop of ice cream. Also delicious. It's a large dessert menu as well as the regular menu, and they're all worth trying, but especially the bread pudding.
And my last question is, when you're at Purple Patch, what song or playlist puts you in your element?
So I make my own playlist specifically for it. And like the playlist I use now is just called like Bar Playlist Number 2. I had my own playlist at Kitty's too that I put on, but it's a different crowd, different environment, and I don't think that playlist works for Purple Patch. So
okay.
That one's just kind of put to the side. But we also, Zach and I, at the end of the night, we have what we call Eon Albums, which is E-O-N, Eon Albums, where we pick an album that we think is a perfect album, and we just play that album all the way through. Okay. It's after the kitchen closes, like while we're closing.
What was the last one you played?
The last one I picked? So we've done a couple of Cake albums. We've done a couple of Spoon albums. I put on Anima by Tool. Some point it was LP was involved in whatever it was, but it wasn't Run the Jewels.
I do have one more question. It's a selfish one.
All right,
just to see how well you've known me. If I were to leave DC, I'm not going to, but if I were to leave DC and I was going to Purple Patch one last time for a while, what food and cocktail would you serve me?
What food and cocktail would I serve you?
It can be a combo.
I would probably do ginger pork belly as the dish, which is basically like a crispy pork belly on top of a pancit. It's delicious.
Oh my God.
And the cocktail, on the current cocktail list, Chocolate City Manhattan.
Ooh. Yeah. Wait a minute, did Zach come up with that?
That one was me. Yeah.
Okay, because, all right, I guess the last tidbit before we wrap this up. I did an episode filming with Zach, and I gave him a drink challenge, and he came up with a chocolate-inspired old-fashioned.
Okay.
And it was really good.
Yeah.
So you two are kindred spirits.
Yep.
And need to make this union official. And that's how I'm wrapping up this episode.
Oh, I'm letting Zach know when he's back.
Sounds good. Thank you for joining me today.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.